I'm prepared to speak something this morning, but I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. Momentous, awesome task, at the same time, the great fortune that's awaiting us through the course of the day with so many devotees together, just focusing on the holy name all day long, chanting with the prime benediction for all of humanity for the entire age of Kali. In the presence of Radha Damodar, in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, this temple room was set up so nicely with, in the presence of our great acharyas, holding their beads, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti, we have so much blessings. In a devotee community that Prabhupada named Gita Nagari. Prabhupada gave that name. It's not like, you know, devotees picked the name out of a hat or something. We like that one. Prabhupada gave the name where the Gita would be sung. The whole community. And the community has invited us in. We've invaded. We're all huddling around the holy name and perched on the anticipation of chanting the holy name with purity, sincerity, heart-rending plea to the holy name to give full mercy to this fallen soul and all of us. I'm a little overwhelmed at what's about to happen. And it's, of course, it's already been happening, and this morning I'm sure a number of you felt something. I felt something. It's very awesome, the event we're taking up here. So the chosen topic for this morning is something given by a very dear God brother, Bhurijan Prabhu, to help us focus properly, is what he has called four tips for good chanting. Because you tried it, we've heard so many things, and sometimes hearing so many things makes it difficult to focus because there's so many things. But as I mentioned yesterday, you will find that as you're going along, some of those so many things will just surface and be a great resource to help carry you more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. So no harm. Great inspiration. But this morning, just Bhurijan holds a very special place in my journey in Krishna consciousness. He gave me my first Krishna conscious literature. As we were college students together. He gave me my first Back to Godhead magazine. And my deepened interest in, I've always been interested in Prabhupada's books, but a very much deepened interest in diving into Srimad Bhagavatam came by attending his Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam study program. He's like a He doesn't like to hear this, but he's not here, so I can say it. Like a mentor in the next thing. So he shared with me that he feels this, what we're doing now is, for those who are serious, where there's always the introducing people to Krishna consciousness, and those of you that have been involved in introducing people to Krishna consciousness, what happens after you introduce people to Krishna consciousness? You have to give them some service after some time and find the right service for that person. But then the foundational things have to be there, because otherwise the service is going to be a disturbance to themselves, to other people, and then you just end up managing problems, and that becomes what we call the Hare Krishna movement. So, foundational things, like really foundational things, like hearing, chanting in such a way, we're hearing. That's novel. I'm just discussing, because we weren't breaking the Mona rule, we were discussing on the way over, Badahari was appreciating that we're so prone to become routine-istic, like, you know, in a rut, like dull, mechanical, ritualistic maybe, kind of like absent, doing things absent. It's not satisfying. Not at all satisfying. So that which, particularly is appreciating Satchinanda Swami's very gifted way of bringing attention to hearing. He was appreciating and sharing his nice realization. But as a musician, that's a gift that Krishna has given him. It's not just comprehension, or as Prema Trungani was describing in the beginning of that exercise in the art of hearing. We're so accustomed to hearing, like processing and gathering information and, you know, the intellect grasping concepts and then doing something with them. We're very trained up in that, and the Maha Mantra is different. It's being present with hearing. Say it the other way. We're not used to that. And so the mind gets restless. We want information. We want to grab a hold of some idea and, you know, work with that idea, because we've got this intellect that's really trained up and revved up and ready to go, and it's not happening. Restless. Mind, so the mind goes somewhere. And we're not satisfied with that quality of chanting. Even we're completing our 16 rounds dutifully. Maybe sometimes not completing our 16 rounds dutifully. Who knows? Because people aren't watching, it's maybe not. Who knows? But it's not satisfying. So, we want satisfaction. Yenatma supra. So the Bhagavatam is there to give us, touch the heart to Krishna. Krishna descends and touches the heart if we hear properly Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is in this Maha Mantra. The whole spiritual world is in the Maha Mantra. Our intimate relationship with Radha Krishna is the Maha Mantra. The seed is there, and if we hear in a quality way and without all the other stuff that goes on normally. So that's what going back to the beginning of the invocation of our retreat, that's what a retreat is, to get out of the comfort zone of business as usual and experience something out of that business as usual, that routine, that mechanical. So here's four tips. Compliments of Burijan Prabhu, who, like Sachinandan Swami, has conducted many, many, many of these, what we're doing now, japa retreats. So he's the pioneer, at least in our ISKCON. But he has drawn, because he's who he is, he's drawn from our acharyas so many things and distilled it down to four very simple points. Okay. So I'm going to personalize it a little bit according to my appreciation of what he has done. In the first two points, the first point is one mantra at a time. The second point is neglect the mind. So I'll go into these a little bit, but this is directing the mind and restricting the mind. Sankalpa, vikalpa. This is surrender. Anukalyasya, sankalpa. Pratikalyasya, varjanam. It's surrender. Which leads into the third one. Namashraya. It's a principle of surrender. You can't surrender if you just like wishful thinking. I'll join the Hare Krishna movement and be part of the problem that makes up ISKCON, because I'm not really concerned about becoming pure. I'm concerned about something out there. But it's purity and being really serious about the business of purity. So I accept that which is going to bring me to purity, and I reject that which... So the acceptance is the Maha Mantra. One mantra at a time. And so accepting, rejecting. Accepting, this is the mind. We offered a whole topic on the mind, understanding the mind and prayers to the mind. And we offer our own prayer to the mind. So this is Burijan's making it really simple, one mantra at a time. So how many mantras at a time can you hear? The one that you chanted before, you can lament over how you didn't do it nicely. Or the one that you're going to chant later, how I'm going to do it better. But meanwhile, we're here. It's in the moment. And freedom from the complacency of routine and business as usual and comfort zone and that which we're all too familiar with is now. Freedom is now. There was a book written by an impersonalist, Be Here Now. He's a guy who I first heard Hare Krishna from, at least in person. But it, you know, his message was, become Krishna. So I thought that was rubbish. I forget this guy. How can you become Krishna? Poor Krishna. He's got to be me. We're in big trouble. Become Krishna. Yuck. So, but the principle, it was a catchy title, Be Here Now. So, be present. Direct the mind. This is a tip. in the course of your day. And you can take it as a accepting sankalpa, anukalyasya sankalpa, as a surrender to direct the mind one mantra at a time. Like that, and that's this one. Not anticipating one mantra at a time next time or the one after. Because as soon as you do that, it's mind's gone. And then it's not just the next mantra, it's all the other things that the mind wants to do. So direct the mind. Try it. I invite you. One mantra at a time. It's another way of saying, be present with the holy name. But it's a very simple directive. One mantra at a time. It's very powerful. There's our acharya or acharyas who indicate the root of all offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, there he is with his bead bag in his hand. How did Bhaktivinoda Thakur write all the literatures that he wrote with such intellectual elucidation, clarity, depth? It wasn't by his intellectual prowess, it was by the mercy of the holy name. Ask him. He'll tell you what he tells us. By the mercy of the holy name. And then from the mercy of the holy name, so much service comes. And not the kind of service that just brings disturbance in the form of the Hare Krishna movement. It brings purity into the world, into the hearts and into the lives of the world. It rescues souls from the holy name. The service to the holy name is manifest in so many ways, but it's service to the holy name. By taking the holy name as our master and attending to the dictates of the master. This is our entrance out of complacency and worldliness and chaos and confusion and Kali Yuga and into the spiritual atmosphere beyond the mind. It's a very interesting thing. Enigmatic, as they say. Very hard to understand. Paradoxical. We want to take shelter beyond the mind, and we have to use the mind to get beyond the mind. We want to get to the spiritual position, but we're stuck in this material position. And how do you get out of the material position to the spiritual position except by using the material thing? Chapter 87, 10th canto Bhagavatam. That's the question. That's the whole topic of the chapter. We have to do something. Now the notion in Bhagavad Gita is you do something and you're bound by karma. If you don't do something, then you're bound by karma for neglect of duty. But damned if you do and damned if you don't, you're stuck. What to do? So Bhagavad Gita's recommendation, chapter 3, is yajna. Sacrifice. Sacrifice to Vishnu. And our principle, the yajna for this age, is the Nam Sankirtan yajna. And through that yajna, all other yajnas, all other activities of life become yajna. if, it's a big one too, if we connect with the holy name. And do we have to direct the mind to the name, one mantra at a time? And you don't lament because the one I'm chanting now. So this is some subtleties. Oh, it's not working. And then the mind goes into lamentation and failing to direct the mind. So just stay with directing the mind. And you got Krishna's kind, and you have lots of practice, 64 rounds worth, one mantra at a time. And if you become determined, just like the discussion yesterday afternoon on determination, keep directing the mind. So that leads into the second one. Neglect the mind. At least those proposals, unlimited in number, which the mind wants us to do other than one mantra at a time. You neglect that other. Vikshepa is a term that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses. Distraction. Where does that distraction proposal enter? Through the mind. What about this? What about that? Anybody experience some distraction this morning while trying to focus on the holy name?
Yeah.
Of course. The instruction, this is tip number two, neglect. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives this example of curbing the mind or controlling the mind by taming a wild animal. He gives, there's two methods. One is starvation. You capture the animal and then put him in a cage and starve him. And starve him and starve him, and he's almost dead. Then you give him a little something. Little strength. And then starving again. A little something. Neglect the mind, and only, this is love, where it's exclusive. Rupa Goswami teaches that love is exclusive. I have a nice definition here by Rupa Goswami of what love is. When every reason is there to terminate the relationship and one goes on in the relationship. Means without condition. Because the condition is, see you later. This is too much. But when that's not the consideration, one serves. So the relationship with Krishna is service. We're chanting, and the chatter keeps going, and the mind isn't going to Krishna, and we're trying, and we're restoring our love for Krishna. And so, with determination to continue on that track, that's exercising our love, or awakening our love, or nurturing that love for Krishna. But the mind, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one of his Sharanagati songs, a wicked mind has brought me into this world. Of course, we can blame the mind, but it's behind the mind is our free will. But so the mind is, once we're in this position, it keeps going. Like the modes of nature keep acting. and the mind is moved by those modes of nature, and it keeps forever changing, chanchala, making ever new proposals. It never stops, except neglect. Or is one of the primary means of direct the mind and neglect the other. Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Bhagavatam, the mind is the original cause of material bondage. Again, it's free will, but we're then given a mind. Like, and there's no delays, like at once. The covering of the soul is provided, and the mind goes to fulfill that other than Krishna will. And then the configuration of matter follows that, the dictates of the mind. And then you get material civilization. So spend a little bit of time on this. Supposing today, the rest of this morning and afternoon, and we're chanting, and we're trying to stay with one mantra at a time, and there's other proposals coming, and the other proposals want to force their way in, and we're saying no. And they don't go away. They don't just stand there with folded arms saying, I'm ready when you're ready. They force their way in. Right? You give a little attention. They're all over the place. So you don't give attention. And it keeps, like a bully, just keeps persisting. Now what do? Take shelter of the pure souls. Think of them. Think of their teaching. Through their teachings, they're giving their association. Our great acharyas, or some of the words that you've heard, this, you take shelter. You think of the person. You call upon the person for their mercy. Stay there. Do not budge an inch from that position. This is the determination message. It's embarrassing. You know, when you're being attentive, when you're being inattentive, you know, it's just life. And when you're being trying to be attentive, it's embarrassing. How many things we have that make up our lives that's shelter and illusion? The impermanent, that's so important. So just probing this a little bit more, the mind. In all of Prabhupada writes, in all of yoga systems, controlling the mind is absolutely necessary, and certainly we find that out in the course of chanting. And that means chanting, meaning taking shelter of a personal relationship with God. One of the things that my mind went to in a distraction mode this morning was I've been invited, I'm going to be visiting in Detroit during the month of September, and so some world peace program is being conducted by a local professor and a guy on the West Coast that's like got his own organization going for world peace. Some very, you know, prominent, empowered fellow in California, Los Angeles. Got his own organization. They both have their own organizations. And, you know, their acclaim is peace, world peace. So I'm supposed to speak on world peace. And, of course, these are religious men. Otherwise, they wouldn't be thinking world peace. They'd be thinking, you know, grab a hold of something and enjoy it. But they're thinking world peace. How to have world peace. So I had an idea of what I wanted to present, but I was, as I was chanting this morning, I was thinking there's no real peace is where we've taken shelter, factual shelter, and it's not just a platitude, because the other is just, excuse the expression, rubbish, garbage, not cheating, you know, whatever strong words. I remember hearing this, and then I saw a video of it, of Yogi Bhajan inviting Srila Prabhupada to attend a conference for world peace. And he was in the middle of the sentence, "Let's bring everyone together and we'll all get together." And Prabhupada cut him off and said, "They will never." World peace. Because it's this exercise of bring the mind to the Supreme Personality. It's not a platitude. How do you get to the heart if you can't bring the mind to the Personality of God? And just like our Gopurams, if the mind is not there, it's just a sentiment. A nice sentiment, but no substance. Let the mind become... So the real peace platform, I don't know if I'll be able to... how well I'll be able to... I want to share this with these gentlemen because they're going to be present at the Fisher Mansion and promoting world peace together with whatever I'm going to say, promoting their program because they want to build their organization. So they want to... Anyway... So it's, okay, we can speak about what peace isn't, but are we able to deliver what peace is? Not if the mind can't take shelter of the holy name, one mantra at a time. Challenge. You're the real deal. Little side note, but some of the things that we've been sharing here, Satchinandan Swami shared this with me. He was also invited to one of those, you know, what do you call them? Interfaith things. And he had the opportunity to associate with an Islamic man. And he asked the Islamic man, "Do you have some kind of, like, when you really want to go deeply into chanting of the name of Allah, some ways to do that?" So they were comparing notes. And guess what? You know, there's specific things, body, mind, and heart. It's universal. It, you know, it's in their teachings. Unfortunately, many don't do that. They go into the other. And it brings about another kind of energy in the world, in the name of... So let us not be Hare Krishna devotees in the name of. Let us be Hare Krishna devotees. Let us be shelter takers of the holy name. Okay, so now we're going down the path of one mantra at a time and neglect the mind, directing, neglecting, directing one mantra at a time. And it's not happening. Or it's happening. But we want to continue and stay steady with that, and there's this unsteadiness. Sometimes a little bit, and not, and so. Where do you go from there? That which I described is called namabhas. Here's what namabhas is. Quoting Srila Prabhupada, just the sincere and continuous attempt to chant attentively, or to chant without offenses. That is the namabhas platform. I'll read it again. It's short, powerful. Just a sincere and continuous attempt to chant attentively or chant without offenses. That is the namabhas platform. We say, he called it the clearing platform. The aparad is you don't try. Abhas is you try. Sincerely and continuously to be attentive. So much of what we've been speaking about is to be good namabhas chanters, rather than show bubble. Really, really be trying in a sincere way. To be attentive here. What's next? So I shared with you this nice quote from Rupa Jiva Goswami about service. Liking the position of service. So service to the holy name. Be attentive to the master who we're taking shelter of. What service? Please accept me. Please engage me. And don't move from that position. When some prompt comes for service, it's not like you stop chanting and run off and do some service. You stay in that mood. The time for another service will be there when you're chanting. Your service is attentiveness. So this third tip is namashraya. It's going beyond the petty material desires and the chatter of the mind. Taking shelter of the mind to taking shelter of the holy name through the instrument of the mind, because the mind is being directed. Remember, we're directing the mind one mantra at a time. It's a sankalpa, it's a decision, a commitment, a determination. No more of this. This business as usual, complacency, comfort zone stuff, no more of this. I can't do it alone, but so we've come to this retreat for that purpose. Beyond that, please. I'm very weak, like these prayers that we've been hearing. I'm very frail, very weak, cut uncovered. But I know inside there's this seed, there's this light that says, you are my shelter. I want to be with you. I take shelter of you. It's this shelter beyond the mind. We have to give up the shelter of the mind to go to the shelter beyond the mind. So this invites naturally, not like trying to put it on cosmetically, but naturally from within awakens humility. Because we're not there. And we're very weak. And our efforts are inadequate. We're covered. Therefore, the spiritual platform of humility arises from sincerely and consistently trying to be attentive. So this is what we take shelter of in these moments where one mantra at a time, neglect the mind, take shelter of the name in this mood of humility and service. Naturally it arises. But that's where we go. You know, like, what to do when da-da-da-da, those kinds of questions. This is the response. Push on with your determination. And don't budge an inch. So this is 11th canto. When one takes sannyas, one is awarded, you get a mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, the Harinam Diksha. You get Gayatri mantra at Brahminical Diksha. You get a sannyas mantra at sannyas Diksha. But at the time of sannyas Diksha, Prabhupada indicated there's a nice mantra that comes from Krishna's teachings to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam, where the Avanti Brahmana prays. So along with chanting of our Gayatri mantra, Sannyasis Prabhupada encouraged to chant this mantra. Etang sa astaya paratmanishtam adhyasitam purvatamaya mahadbi aham trishami dharamtaparam tamo mukundambri nishevayaiva. You can look it up later. It's 11:23:57, where, because of time, I won't go into the whole nice, the whole chapter dedicated to the mind. And Uddhava's question is, why do people suffer? So the whole narration is given to say that the reason people suffer is the mind. It's not circumstance. It's not time. It's not karma. It's not providence. It's not the stars. It's my astrological chart. I'm in a bad period, so I'm suffering. It's the mind. I want to emphasize one part of what he says. This is text 48, where the Avanti Brahmana is praying to Krishna, or speaking to Krishna, failing to conquer this irrepressible enemy, the mind, whose urges are intolerable, and who torments the heart. Many people are completely bewildered and create useless quarrel with others. Thus they conclude that other people are their friends, their enemies, or parties indifferent to them. Kali. Quarrel. You know, the blame game and aparad. Devotees engaged in speaking something ill, or hearing something ill, or feeling something ill about another devotee. When it's that very person, the shelter of bhakti is the devotee, that can give something of benefit to my life. And so we need to chant the holy name, we'll say it positively, to chant the holy name properly, we have to have loving relationships with devotees. Say it negatively. Without having loving relationships with devotees, we won't be able to chant the holy name properly, because our mind will propose so many chatters about a problem you have with this devotee, that devotee, that devotee, and trying to sort out the problem, or kvetching about the problem, about the, you know, instead of the holy name. So it will, positively, enhance our chanting of the holy name. It will make it possible to chant the holy name through this loving relationships with devotees. It must be part of our life. This is part of the alignment message. But we won't get there like this world peace. We won't get there if we haven't taken shelter. So these first three, one mantra at a time. Neglect the mind. I'm trying. Not happening. Namashraya. There are 10 subjects in the Bhagavatam. The 10th subject is ashraya, the shelter of the other 9. And guess who ashraya is? Krishna. This is nam ashraya. If we take shelter of the name, we have the shelter and proper alignment of all other things. And if not, you're not going to have world peace. You're not going to have happiness. You're not going to have satisfaction. You'll have quarrel because you neglected to curb the restless mind and bring the mind to Krishna. And that's just so. Namabhas, and go beyond Namabhas, Namashraya. Exclusive shelter, you are everything. Then the fourth one, mercy. Anticipate it. Krishna is merciful. Bask in it when it comes. Feel overwhelming gratitude. Let the heart become transformed and bursting with gratitude for that mercy. Beware of pride. Pride wants to grab a hold of that spiritual position and uproot it, take you back into nescience. No. Stay with humility. Stay with Namashraya. And call for Krishna's mercy. So, this is just to prepare us for this day. There's so many things nice and inspirational to say. Just share one of them with you. This morning, I'm sure you noticed, there was some fog. This is just some personal sharing with you of how living with the Srimad Bhagavatam makes Krishna consciousness in everyday things of life. There's this nice verse, 6.1.15, where fog is referred to. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhundvanti karchnyena niharam eva bhaskaram. Niharam is fog. Well, just eva means like. Niharam eva bhaskaram. Bhaskaram is sunlight. Or the sun itself. Sun and the rays of the sun. And the presence of the, because the fog is gone, because now there's direct rays of the sun, but when it's in the morning where there's enough light, or it was at night, there was no light, so the fog was there. And you can't see clearly, so that's kind of like our existence. We can't see clearly. We know Krishna exists. We know that there's shelter. We know that there's God. But we're in this fog. What's the way out of the fog? Direct light of the sun. Like the direct light of sun, it once dissipates. So, bhakti, kevala bhakti, kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. With faith. We heard about the role of faith and the role of determination. With faith, you take shelter. 1, 2, 3, 4. Direct the mind, one mantra at a time. Neglect other things. Struggle. Mind doesn't want this position. I'm in charge. And we say to the Prabhupada said, you say to the mind, you've been in charge for countless lifetimes and you haven't done a good job. Mm-hmm. Sit down. Some of the prayers to the mind are like, just stand down. And Krishna is in charge. The holy name is in charge and I'm serving him, not you. Sit down. And once you stand up, sit down. I'm not going to pay any antics you want to do, I'm not going to pay attention. I'm giving exclusive attention to the holy name. Keeps pressing. Exclusive shelter. Calling for the mercy of the acharyas, and again, such a wonderful place to take up this task. You know, frankly, I like Gita Nagari. I prefer Gita Nagari to these nice remote Buddhist-like places where they have these japa retreats, because look, Radha Damodar, Srila Prabhupada. I mean, I was this morning sitting and looking up at Prabhupada and wow, our acharya, our founder acharya, who has come to give us this greatest gift, the holy name, and he's overseeing our efforts to try to receive that gift, and the previous acharyas also giving their blessings with their beadbag in hand and chanting the holy name, and it's so auspicious. So many devotees focused on this. It's powerful. Rocket fuel. So, and when a little, because that's all it takes, is a little light, direct sunlight comes in, at once the fog is gone. So we're not there, but we want to be there. And this teaching that's in the purport of this very same verse, 6.1.15, is Jiva Goswami's explanation that covered condition transits through the mood of service into getting a glimmer of attachment. That's where the ray of light comes in. So let us be in the mood of service to the holy name while chanting, appealing as a prayer to be accepted in the position as the servant. Come before Radha and Krishna, because that's what Hare Krishna is. Radha Krishna or Hara in the vocative Hare. We're coming in the presence of Radha and Krishna with folded hands, pleading for service, to be accepted in their service. It's the seed. It's the entrance into the spiritual world. How fortunate. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our august assembly of Vaishnava Acharyas, if we can actually receive that gift, that receiving not only will make us happy, but it can be an agent for change in whatever we come in contact with, and collectively the world. I don't know how I'm going to give that message to these folks in Detroit at their peace conference, but I'll try. And I think a lot of it will depend upon how well I chant Maha Mantra, one mantra at a time. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nam Sankirtan ki jai, Om Premanandi.
Hare Krishna.